Today's daf is Babasu daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. V'hai Tana Maisi Lamehacha, the second wide line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. What we're in the middle of discussing is how we know that a Baal is Yoresh Es Ishto, that when a woman dies, her husband can yarshin his wife. So we had one possibility yesterday. We're going to discuss additional sources that a Baal is Yoresh Es Ishto. Not just additional sources, we're going to have several psukim, like a half a dozen psukim, that all seem to indicate that a Baal is Yoresh Es Ishto. So that's obviously going to lead the Gemara directly into a discussion of why we need so many psukim that seem to be telling me the very same thing, that a Baal is Yoresh Es Ishto. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a woman marries a man from her own shevet, meaning there is this Isser, certainly in the times of the Midbar, but it no longer applies. There was an Isser that a woman was not allowed to marry someone outside of her Shevet, because then she was going to be taking the Nachla away from her Shevet, because if the husband is Yoresher, or even if her son is Yoresher, that's going to take it away from her Shevet. So the Gemara is going to talk about, if a woman marries a man from her own Shevet, isn't it still a problem? Because she's going to take the Nachla that's taken from her mother's Shevet. She might be Yoresh her mother might be from a different shevet, so she's going to be made some nachla from the mother to a different shevet. And then the Gemara is going to have brisos that we're going to start in today's daf, continue into tomorrow's daf, brisos that interpret psukim about diverting nachla by her husband inheriting her, and other brisos that talk about her diverting the nachla not by her husband inheriting her, but by her son inheriting her. Either way, it diverts the nachla from her Shevet, where it had originated. So let's begin the second wide line, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. V'hai Tana Maisi Lamehacha. The following Tana derives this din, that a husband can yarshin his wife, from the following. D'tanya, the Brisa interprets the pasuk as follows, V'yarash Osa Melamed Shabal Yoresh Es Ishto. Div Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, V'yarash Osa, that teaches us that a Baal is Yoresh Es Ishto, that a man is Yoresh his wife. Rabbi Yishmael Amar, Eino Tzarech, no, you don't need such a drasha. V'yarash Osa, we have another pasuk, Harei Omer, V'kol Bas Yoresh Es Nachlim Matos B'nei Yisrael La'echad Mimishpachas. So, Ba'asveis Habal L'kosim Medav, the pasuk is talking about that a woman is going to take the Yerusha from her father's Shevet and divert it to a different Shevet. How does that happen? Through the Baal, through the husband yarshining the wife. V'omer v'lotis of nachla b'nei Yisrael matal mata. And there's a pasuk that tells us that she should not do this. She should not take away the Yerusha from the land from one Shevet and bring it to another Shevet. Ve'omer v'lotis of nachlim matel mata acher. Ve'omer v'lotz ben Aaron meis ve'yikroso b'givas pinchas. But no. And another pasuk tells us that when Elazar ben Aaron died, they buried him in the land that belonged to Pinchas Bino. Well, how could it be that Pinchas has land that Elazar didn't have? Where did Pinchas get land that Elazar didn't have? El malamit shenasa Pinchas isha umesa v'yarsha. It must be this was a Yerusha that Pinchas got, not from his father. If it would have been a Yerusha from his father, then it would have been Elazar's land. No, it must be that Pinchas married a woman, she died, Pinchas yarshined her, so you see, Baal Yerusha Sishto, that's how Pinchas had land that Elazar didn't have. V'omer, and another pasuk that also teaches that a Baal Yerusha Sishto, Uskuv holid as Ya'ir, Skuv was the father of Ya'ir, v'yihilo esrim v'sholosh arim be'eretz ha'gilad, that Ya'ir had 23 cities in Eretz HaGilad. So same question, v'chi minayin the Ya'ir shalo ha'ilo l'skuv. Where did Ya'ir get any land that Skuv didn't have? He would have to yarshin it from his father. So melamit shenasi Ya'ir isha, isha umesa v'yarsha. So you see that Ya'ir must have married a woman, she had died, and he had yarshined her, and that's how Ya'ir received the Yerusha that Skuv, his father, did not have. So a number of points before we start discussing in the Gemara why we need all of these psukim to tell us ostensibly the same thing, that a husband is Yoresh Es Ishto. First of all, when we say Ba'asveis Habal Lakas Medaber, the Rashbam explains that the Chashash of Hasavas Nachla Al Yidei, a daughter that yarshins, is only when the father dies without any sons. So the Shir Rabbi David is medayik that we're not choshesh that the woman is gonna get married if the father has sons and it's gonna divert the Yerusha. Well, why aren't we choshesh? Because how could it divert the Yerusha? She's not gonna get any Yerusha. Her brother's gonna get all the Yerusha. No, but says Shir Rabbi David, wait a second, it's still possible that she'll get it because if the brother doesn't have any children and he dies, she's gonna yarshin her brother. So if she yarshins, so her father may be dead, and yes, she might have a brother. So Rashbam says, I'm not worried. Let her marry whoever she wants. If she has a brother, it's not going to take the Yerusha away from her father's Shevet because her brother's going to get the Yerusha. But as Shur Reb David, she still might take the Yerusha away from her Shevet because if her brother dies, she's going to yarshin him. And then who's going to yarshin her? Her husband, her children are going to yarshin her. So it's still going to be taking it away from the father's shevet. So apparently why aren't we still concerned about that? And this is particularly difficult in light of what Tosos says on Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis, where Tosos over there asks, according to the Deya, that a mother can yarshin her own son. It turns out that there is hasavas nachla al yidei abal, because if the husband dies and his son yarshins him, and then the son dies, she will yarshin the son. So apparently Tosos is concerned about a chashash like this, that even though it's going to have to go through two people, it's going to have to go to the son and then come back, bounce back to her. So over here also we should be equally concerned that it's going to go to the brother, and then the brother's going to die and it's going to go to her. So that's the kasha that he deals with. He suggests, the Shir Rabbi David suggests, that the isser to marry someone from a different shevet is because the isser of asavas nachla is that through that nisuin the husband is being yoresh, meaning he's setting himself up as a yoresh. The nachla is now destined to be moved out of the shevet. So when she has a brother, the father had a son who's ro'i to yarshin, when she gets married, it is not setting up for that Yerusha to be diverted. If everything goes as normal, the brother will have his own family and the Yerusha will go that way. So that's not a savas nachla. But al yidei nisuin, but when it's about her son, the Yerusha going to her son, so then it's creating a Yerusha that's already in place, that he's the one that's going to yarshin what she's taking from her father's estate, which is going to also be a savas nachla. Okay, then another ha'ara, just in terms of how this works, we said that there was an isser, and again, the argamar was not yet clear that this isser only applied in the Dara Midbar, but it did. We're going to see later. It only applied in the Dara Midbar that a woman was not allowed to marry. It's beferish in the Torah that she was not allowed to marry out of her shevet. Why? Because you're taking the nachla away from that shevet. So Ruchim Fischl Perlau, in his commentary to the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigon, isn't sure, is this an isser of marriage, that she can't marry out of the shevet, and the tam of the isser is the asavas nachla? Or is it an isser of asavas nachla? Meaning, what if a person gives a matana? A person gives a matana to somebody else, that you see, when you sell something, so it's not asavas nachla. You sell something to someone from a different shevet, it's going to return at Yovel, so it's no problem. That's not called that you're taking it out of that nachla. But there is a shita in Tanaim, Reb Meir Shita in Becharus Daf Nun Beis, that when you give a matana, it doesn't go back at Yovel. I don't think we paskin that way, but that's a shita in Tanaim, that when you give a matana, it doesn't go back at Yovel. Is that included in part of that isser? He's mesupak, he's not sure. Rav Yochanan Fischl Perlau is not sure. Meaning, what is the isser of yours? Is the isser an isser of asavas nachla, or is the isser an isser of nisuin outside of the shevet with the that's motivated by hasavas nachla? So that's something that he leaves besafek. Another point, we mentioned that Pinchas should not have had any land that didn't belong to Elazar's father, unless you say that he yarshined it from his wife. So the Karen Ora raises the question, according to the Shita of Rav Ashi in Maseches Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that Pinchas only became a Kohen once he made Shalom amongst the Shvatim, that he did not become a Kohen immediately. It says in Sefer Yoshua that the Shvatim wanted to fight with the Bnei Shevet Reuven and Gad, because they built the Mizbeach and Ever Yarden, and Pinchas was the one who ran interference, and he said, well, wait a second, before we go to war, let's see, maybe they're doing, maybe there's some explanation. So they had a conversation. It turned out they were trying to do it l'shem shemayim, misguided, but were trying to do it l'shem shemayim. And he averted civil war. He was able to prevent a civil war from taking place. And that, says the Gemara in Zvachim, according to Rav Ashi, is when Pinchas became a Kohen. Now, if that's the case, what's the raya from the fact that it's called Givas Pinchas, that he yarshened it from his wife? It could be that he got it as Chalukas Haaretz when he was not yet a Kohen, meaning the reason the Gemara can't imagine he got anything that Elazar didn't have. Elazar didn't make it in Eretz Yisrael. Pinchas made it in Eretz Yisrael. So why is it so hard to imagine he got something that Elazar didn't have? Maybe he got it as part of the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael when he yarshened a piece of Eretz Yisrael, because Kohanim don't get a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't a Kohen yet. He only became a Kohen later on. That's the Kasha of the Keren Ora. So the Keren Ora suggests that even according to Rav Ashi, he was a Kohen from the moment he killed Zimri, which was before they entered Eretz Yisrael. It's just that Bnei Yisrael would not allow him to wear the Big Day Kohuna. They would not be. They would not anoint him with the Shemana Mishcha. They wouldn't allow all of that until he made peace later on after they had entered Eretz Yisrael. But as far as his Din Kohuna with regard to Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael, he definitely had a Din Kohuna. Just as far as Avoda is concerned, they did not allow him to perform the Avoda. The question then begs itself, though. You know, we had like six different psukim over here that all basically say you're not allowed to marry outside of your shevet. So, l'chora, and then we say, oh, so how did Pinchas get any land that Elazar didn't have? His wife married someone who wasn't from her shevet, him. He wasn't from her shevet, and they got married. How was that allowed? That's the Netziv raises the question, the Emek HaNetziv, Parshas Pinchas, that how could Pinchas marry a woman from Benos Ephraim, according to that's the Sifri over there, says that it was from Benos Ephraim, that you're not allowed to marry that not, if anyone who's not from your shevet. So he says, no, maybe he married her before the time of the Benos Slavcha to Moshe Rabbeinu, and maybe that's when the Isser came into play, and the Isser was only Mikan Laba. It was not that they had to then go be Megarish their wives that they already had from a different shevet. It was only for that short tkufa in history after the time of the Benos Slavcha until we got into Eretz Yisrael that they had such an issue that they weren't allowed to marry outside the Shevet. Otherwise, it's a major kasha. What was Pinchas thinking? How would Pinchas be allowed to marry outside of the Shevet? So now the Gemara is going to deal with why we needed all of these psukim. Second line from the top, Kuf Yud Beis, Amid Aleph. Maiva Omer. All of these psukim to tell me a Baal is Yoresh, his wife. Why do I need so many? V'chi Tema B'sivas HaBen Kokabit Kra Aval Baal Lo Yarus. Because you might say that when it talks about not being Mesiv Nachla, it's talking about the son, the diversion of the Nachla through the son, but the husband wouldn't be Yorish anyway. Meaning the point is, she can't marry outside of the Shevet, because then when they have a son, that son will belong to her husband's Shevet, not to her own Shevet, and he's going to get the Yerusha. But maybe in a Chinami, if they don't have children and she dies, the husband will not get the Yerusha. Maybe you don't see Yerusha Sabal over here. Maybe the whole concern was only about Yerusha's Haben. Tashema, that's why we need another pasuk. Lotis of Nachla lebnei Yisrael mi mata lemata. That from one mata to another, from one shevet to another shevet. V'chitema lavra. So a second pasuk can't be teaching me the same thing. You wouldn't need two pasukim teach me the exact same thing. So it must be one pasuk is telling me because of the son might get the Yerusha, and that's going to take away from a shevet. And the other because of the husband, that even if there's no son, the husband will get the Yerusha, that's going to take it away from the shevet. V'chitema lavra. How do you know that that's talking about two separate Yisurim, one for the son's Yerusha, one for the husband's Yerusha? Maybe only the son gets the Yerusha, and we need two Pesukim, one to tell me that it's a violation of a Losaseh for her to marry out of the Shevet because the son is going to get the Yerusha, and one to tell me it's a violation of an Aseh. So Tashma, that's why we need another Pasuk that's said with an additional Losaseh. Lotis of Nachlim Matal Mata Acher, V'chi Tema Lavar Lav, Bishnei Lav and Vasei. Maybe it's really just trying to super emphasize the Isser by making it two lavin and an asay. Tashma. That's why we have another pasuk of Elazar ben Aaron Meis, how Elazar ben Aaron died and Pinchas was buried in the land of Pinchas. V'chi teima Elazar who denasavitza umesa viyarta Pinchas. But still, how do you know that Pinchas yarshined his wife? Maybe this only teaches us that a son yarshins a mother, but not that a husband yarshins a wife. Because there's another possibility of how Pinchas owned land that his father did not own. His father, Elazar, marries a woman. They have Pinchas. They have Pinchas is their child. The woman dies. Husband, Elazar doesn't yarshin her. The son Pinchas yarshins her. So there you have Pinchas yarshining land that she had that her husband was unable to yarshin. So maybe that's what's going on. It's all about Yerushas HaBein from the mother. Maybe it's not at all about Yerushas HaBaal. So Tashma, that's why we need the final pasuk. Uskuv holidas Yair, that Yair had lands that Skuv did not own. Maybe that pasuk also. Maybe the son had lands that the father did not own because it was the mother's land. Maybe not because the husband. Maybe not because it was his wife's land. Maybe it was, the mother's land. Then you wouldn't need two pasukim to tell me the same thing. So that's how we know that it's teaching us the Yerusha of a husband, that a husband yarshins his wife. If you look at Tosfim, Kain Trei Krai Lamali, Avgav Dekra Kama Nami Shalo Letzarech. You know, the first pasuk wasn't really needed either. The first pasuk about Pinchas and Elazar is really unnecessary as well, because we already learned from all the pasukim in Chumash that a son can yarshin the mother. So what did I need the first one for? So Tosfos points out, Avgav the Krakam Namishlo Tzarech the Kvar Shaminu Mitoros Moshe Siba Saben. We already learned from the Chumash how a son gets the Yerusha from the mother. Mikol Makom Baze Eno Makvid Yashmin Yeshua Nami Siba Saben. For the Navi to repeat a din that already appears in Chumash is not such a big deal. That we wouldn't be concerned about. But why would the Navi have to say it again? After the Navi already says it the first time, for the Navi to say it again, that's what the Gemara is focused on. Aval trezimni, lesley lashminan. It would be unusual for the Navi to tell us twice that a son yarshins a mother. It would be unnecessary. The Rashbam is bothered. We said, lavra lav belava say. Maybe the pasuk is repeated in the Chumash to tell me it's all about the son yarshining, but it's a violation of a lav and an asay. So the Rashbam writes that the Torah is telling us she shouldn't marry a ben shever acher and she's going to be chayv malchus, because a los asay means that you're chayv malchus when you marry someone from a different shever. So Mesh Chachma just points out this issue is only on the woman. And normally we assume that we're makish ish li isha l'kol onshin shabbatorah or isha l'ish l'kol onshin shabbatorah. That we know when it comes to mitzvah asay, there are exceptions. Mitzvah shazman grama, nashmar patura. Except most of them are exceptions to the exception, but there are about six or seven mitzvah shazman grama that women are actually pater from. But when it comes to losasei, the kolon shabbatara, men, women are exactly the same. So the Meshchach was not sure. Maybe this issue that existed about a woman not marrying outside of the shevet is not an issue on the man. It's only an issue on the woman. Maybe we wouldn't say that we make a hekesh between the isha and the isha, the kolon shabbatara, like we do in Kiddushin daf lamed hey, because this issue is not an issur l'doros. Maybe that rule is only when it's an issur l'doros. But then he proves from the Rashbam later on that it seems to be an issur on the husband as well. L'chara would be at least a lifnei iver on the husband, meaning that if it's the woman's issur to marry, so by him marrying her, he's at least violating lifnei iver by causing her to violate this issur. Rav Elchanan, Kovitz Shurim, says that he thinks the husband would get malchus. It's not just a lifnei iver; that's mamish his issur as well, because it's the Savas Habal that's happening. That's the primary concern, that he's the one that's taking it away. Question is when the Isser is exactly violated. This Rav Elchanan struggles with a little bit. In El Shin Chaf Hei and Kovit Shirim, what is the exact moment of the Isser? The Pasuk says you can't have Hasavas Habal. You can't have the husband divert the Yerusha away from the original Shevet. So it seems that you violate Peshas Nisuin, not Peshas Erusin, because at the time of Erusin he's not roy for Yerusha yet. He wouldn't get the Yerusha of his wife, Peshas Erusin. So it sounds like it's only Peshas Shas Nisuin. But the pasuk is only if the pasuk were about Hasavas Habein, Lechora even Shas Nisuin would not be the Isser. The Isser would only be B'Shas Bia when there's a possibility that they're conceiving a child, and that would be the violation of the Isser. But then Rav Chanan says, but even if all that is correct, what if they don't end up having a child? Or what if it turns out that she doesn't die first and the Yerusha does not go to the husband? Is the Isser something that's Tali Va'omed until the Shas Leda? And if they never have a child, it's in the Sparal Mafreya that they never violated the Isser? Or is the Bia itself the Isser, meaning related to what we were talking about before? Is it that there's an Isser of getting married, or there's an Isser of doing a Maisa Bia? The reason for the Isser is because this act is most likely or often would lead to diverting the Yerusha from her Shevet to his Shevet. Or is it no? The Isser is diverting the Yerusha, period. So if it turns out that they got lucky and the Yerusha, they didn't have a child and the Yerusha never got diverted, so they didn't violate this Isser. So that's what Rav Chanan is not sure about. He quotes from a Tosas HaRash by the woman that if they warn her at the Shas Nisuin that it's only Asra Safek, because you don't know who's going to actually Yarshin her, whether it's going to be the husband or the son. And the Isser is only because of Asavas Habal. So he says, so it sounds like the moment of the Isser is not the Nisun itself, it's only the Basof, it's only when the Yerusha actually happens. Otherwise it wouldn't be Asra Safik. Asra Safik means, I warn you right now, you better not do that action, because if you do, you're going to be Chayv Malkus. And the reality is, if you do that action, you may or may not be Chayv Malkus. It's still not going to, the final chapter will not have been written when you do the action I'm warning you not to do right now. So Tos Rosh says, this would be called Hasra Asafek. If I warn her, you better not marry that man, he's not from your Shevet, you're going to be Chayv Malkus, maybe she'll be in violation of the Isser, maybe she won't. It depends on whether she dies first. It depends what's going to happen with the end of the story. So the very fact that the Tosa Rush says that it depends, that it's called Hasra Asafek, makes it sound like the Isser is not in the marriage itself, the Isser is only in what is going to come out of that marriage, the Yerusha that the husband's going to receive from her, or that the child might one day receive from her. So that's the discussion that Rav Chanan has. Now Tosas raises the question, we said that it's to violate, the reason we have all of these psukim, until we add the psukim in Yeshua to tell us otherwise, is maybe it's all about Hasavas HaBen, none of it is about Hasavas HaAv, but it's Lav or Lav B'Lav Yaseh, or Lav or Lav B'Shnei Lav V'Aseh. There is a klal in Shas, the Gemara Psachim Daf Chavdal and Beis, the second part of Psachim tells us that whenever we have the ability to make a drasha from the psukim, we do. When do we say Lav or Lav B'Shnei Lavin, or Lav or Lav B'Lav V'Aseh? When there's no other drasha to be had, when there's just nothing else we can figure out that we could possibly derive from these psukim. So Tosfos over here in Dibur Maskel V'Chitim raises the question, Tema, the rule is, if there's some other drasha to be made, we don't just throw an extra lavin. And over here, it's so obvious. We're trying to make this drasha that not only does a son yarshin his mother, a husband yarshins his wife. We're saying, no, maybe the husband doesn't yarshin his wife. It's just extra lavin for the son. Well, why would you say that? To say that there's another din to be made over here, that a husband would yarshin his wife. So the Tos Rosh, the Ritva, suggests that it's better to learn these psukim about Shnei Lavin than to say that the husband would yarshin his wife, because the husband is not a karov to his wife. The husband is not a relative of his wife. He comes from an entirely different family, so it's so out of the box in Dinei Nachla that normally Dinei Nachla always work with your family. So it's so out of the box that a husband would yarshin his wife. In this instance, it seems like a more likely scenario to say that it's lav or lav b'shnei lavin rather than to say that a husband yarshins his wife. It's such a yotze min haklal that a husband yarshin his wife, which l'chor is a very big chiddush. That the husband's not a relative, he's more than a relative. Ishto kigufo, that Adam Karov etzalatzmo, he's the ultimate Karov, she's mamish considered part of him. But they're not blood relatives. So since they're not blood relatives, that's why we might have thought that. That's the chiddush. That's what the Tosa Rush and the Ritva suggest. Says the Gemara further now. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye Mimai. We said because we have two psukim in Sefer Yoshua that talk about people who had land that their fathers didn't own, so one of those psukim must be talking about that they yarshined it from their mother, and the other that they yarshined it from their wife. But how do you know? Maybe a husband never yarshins. Maybe neither of these psukim are about yarshining from the wife. And the psukim are about the boy yarshining his mother. What about the psukim in Yehoshua? Why do I need two psukim in Yehoshua? Maybe in those cases, these were cases that they had purchased land. This has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with yarshining it from anybody, and they had just bought it, as Rashbam points out. V'yar d'zav mizban lokach bekesef hanu yaros v'losa kralo yilan midi. Pasuk not teach me anything. Ela ashro shel yair maralanu. He's just telling us what a rich guy Yair was, that he owned all this land. K'mosha mitzina b'har be'mekobes b'neviim. Well, why do you have to say that it was Yerusha? He bought land, so he owns land. Who says that it was Yerusha? So says the Gemara, no, you cannot say that. You cannot say that he bought land, because we know what the rule is when you buy land. When you buy land, it goes back at Yovel. So that's impossible, that's what was going on over here, that this is land that's going to go back at Yovel. Amalei Pinchas Tezavim Mizvan Lamas Tzamrit Dimkein Nimtzeis Sada Chozeres B'Yovel V'Nimtze Tzadik Kavur B'Kever Sheino Shalom. That would mean that the field would go back at Yovel, and that would mean, by definition, that a tzadik is being buried in a kever that doesn't belong to him. And that can't be. It has to be a kever that actually belongs to him. So this can't be something that he only owns temporarily until Yovel. That's impossible. So Gemara says, okay, so maybe another possibility. Maybe he got it from Stecharam. People give a cherim lahegdish, and the halacha is that it's going to go to the Kohen. So maybe he got this as a Stecharamim. That's a pasuk in Chumash, Rashbam points out. Kol cherim b'Yisrael l'chayiya. So it's going to go to the Kohen. So Amar Abaye, sof, how come it's akra nachla mishifta d'ima l'shifta d'abba? Stecharam, period. So the Gemara says, the psukim in Yehoshua enochinami do not prove anything, because we try to use the psukim in Yehoshua to say, how did the sons get the land the fathers didn't own? Doesn't mean the only way they could have gotten is from their wives. So we're saying, no, there is another way. It's not by buying it, that didn't work, but maybe they got it through charamim, that there were people that gave charam to the mikdash, and that's how the husbands ended up, the sons got lands that their fathers didn't own, which is not a big deal, so good. So these psukim in Yehoshua do not prove it, but anyway, we already proved in yesterday's daf that a husband inherits his wife. This was all just an additional limud. So okay, so we don't have an additional limud. We have to stick to our original limud. That's what it seems to be. There is a hakpada though that they point out based on this gemara that a person should make sure that they own their own burial plot. There is a machlokas in the achronim. Let's say a person had purchased a burial plot and for whatever reason they buried him somewhere else. Are you allowed to? Is that a valid enough reason to move him? Because he bought a plot, and if he bought a plot, that's where he belongs. So Chassam Sofer thinks that it's mutter and his raya from our gemara that it can't be that Pinchas was in the kever she'eno shelo. Now one could argue, no, that doesn't mean that it has to be the place where he planned on being buried. As long as right now he owns that land, that lechora should be good enough. The Mishle Melech says the Davar Pasha that you're not allowed to move him in such a circumstance, but that's what they say, that you should try. They do all sorts of kinyanim to make sure that you own the plot before one is actually buried there, because of this idea that a tzaddik should never be buried in a kever she'ena shalom. The Ketzos in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin raises the question. The Tosos in Maseches Gittin says that if a person is makdish asada with kedushas haguf, that the sada itself becomes hegdish, it's not chozer b'yovel, it doesn't go back at yovel, because kedushas haguf through the hegdish is mafkia any shibud that you would that the original bialim would have on it, so it doesn't go back at yovel. So over here also, if Elazar is buried, the kever becomes kadosh b'kedushas haguf, because you're not allowed to get hana from a kever. It's a sugin sanhedrin daf mem zayin. So luchara, it shouldn't go back at yovel. So the whole Gemara's kasha is not a kasha. I mean, the Gemara says it can't be that this was land that Pinchas bought, and that's why Elazar was buried there, because Pinchas had bought the land, because it would go back at Yovel. Not once Elazar is buried there. Once Elazar is buried there, now it becomes Kadosh B'Kedush Saguf. And if it's Kadosh B'Kedush Saguf, now it can't go back at Yovel. What makes it Kadosh B'Kedush Saguf? The fact that you buried someone there. By burying someone there, it makes it Asr Ba'ana. Asr Ba'ana means it's Kadosh B'Kedush Saguf. That's the Ketzos' Kasha. The Ketzos' Sos suggests that when we say that when you bury someone there, it's Asr Ba'anah, that's only by a Kever Shel Binyan. But a Kever Shel Karka does not become Asr Ba'anah when you bury a person in Kever Shel Karka. The way we bury is not a Kever Shel Binyan, it's underground. That does not make the land Asr Ba'anah. Memela, there's no Kedush Saguf, and you understand very well that it's still going to be Chozer, that it's still going to be Chozer at Yovel. The Chazon Ish quotes the Ketzos that Mechira L'Zman is that it's as if it's completely yours during this man, but at the end of this man it Mimela goes back to the Nosein, and therefore the Mekabel L'Zman is able to eat, is able to enjoy it or to sell it to other people. And he quotes the Rambam that someone who sells something for his man Katsu for a set amount of time is able to build and to destroy as long as it's within his time period as if he owned it forever. So he said L'chor, according to that, it wouldn't be considered that a tzaddik is covered by kever shein or shalal, because mekabel is allowed to do kiritzono with what he wants in the land. When you get something for X amount of time, it's yours for that X amount of time. So what are we saying? That it's a violation that he's in a kever shein or shalal? So Chaznish says that karka olam doesn't become ne'asar, like the Ketzos said, that it doesn't become kadosh. So it's going to be yotze biyova lebailav, so tzaddik is covered by kever shein shalom when Yovel comes, and it goes back to the Bailim at Yovel. Says Mar further, Amar Abaye, sof, hakam esakra nachlam yishivta dima l'shivta daba. You know, this whole discussion, a woman better not marry out of her shevet, because the husband will yarshin her, and it's going to take the Yerusha away from her father's shevet, which is where it was originally, but she also had a mother, and it's taking it out, and even if she marries a man from her own shevet, it's taking it out of her mother's shevet. So shouldn't we have to worry about that? Umimai. Dilma shayni asam shekvar husva. No, maybe we're not worried about that, because when the mother got married, that already happened. It already was diverted from the mother's shevet. Amle shekvar husva lo amrina. No, we don't say such a thing. Amle that had already been diverted, because the Yerusha didn't yet happen. Amle rav yem l'ravashi. Iyam rabishlam shekvar husva haynadu mituk makra bein b'sivis haben bein b'sivis habal. I understand if you're going to say that we're not worried about this, because it's already husva. So now I understand why you're going to say one pasuk is telling me that the woman has to be careful to marry within her shevet because her son shouldn't yarshin her and bring it out of the shevet, and one to tell me she shouldn't marry out of her shevet so that her husband shouldn't yarshin her and bring it out of the shevet. Eliyamid lo amina shakvar husva. But if you don't say this svara that, oh, when her mother got married, her mother already gave up on her own nachla, you know, already had sacrificed her own nachla from her shevet. So kiminsva le'echad mimish. Why is it going to help then if the daughter now marries someone who's from her own father's shevet? She's still being oker the nachla from mommy's shevet to daddy's shevet. So isn't that a violation of something as well? So it says more dimenasvina lagavra da avui mishifta da avua. V'ime mishifta di'ima. Unbelievable that she has to marry a guy whose father is from her father's shevet and whose mother is from her mother's shevet. Imagine the type of shidduch crisis this would create. The limited pool of people that she's able to marry. It's got to be just the right person whose father is from her father's shevet and mother from her mother's shevet. So frankly, Gemara ihachi, if that's the case, that the Torah is makbid about the nachlas ha'eim, and that's why the woman is yoresh from two shvatim, has to marry a man, father from father shevet, mother from the same mother shevet. The pasuk should have said that she should marry someone from matei avia ve'ima. The Torah just says le'echad mimishpachas mata avia, that she has to be careful to marry someone from mata avia. It never says that she has to marry someone from mata ima as well. So iksiv hachi says, if it would have said that in the pasuk avia ve'ima, hava mina afilu ipcha, I would have thought that the Torah only requires that her husband's parents be from the same two shvatim, but it doesn't have to be that his father come from the same shevet that her father comes from, and his mother come from the same shevet that her mother comes from. I would have thought if his father's from the shevet of her mother, and his mother from the shevet of her father, that would be good enough if it would have said, avia v'ima. Hamashmalan. That's why it has to say Le'echem Mishpachas Mata Aviha, to tell me that the primary Akpada is that the yichus of the husband should be with the same Shevet as her father's Shevet, so that the father's Nachla is not going to another Shevet, because Be'ikr is Misyaches with his father. So, but still, it could be that that additionally we're being makbid that the mother of the husband should also be from the Shevet of the mother, to make sure that we're not okay the Nachla of the mother entirely. So that's the suffix of the Gemara. When the Pasuk says Matavia, is it Dafka Matavia, or do you have to be doubly careful to make sure that the mother is also from, that the husband's mother is from the same Shevet as the wife's mother? Good. Now the Gemara is going to move on to quote a number of brises. We're only going to do one of them today. Once we mentioned that the Pesukim that talk about the Isser of Hasavas Nachla are not necessarily about the Hasava Al Yedei Habal, that when she gets married, that the husband's going to yarshen her, some of these Pesukim might be talking about Hasava Al Yedei Haben, that when she gets married and has a child, the child's going to yarshen her and take the Yerusha away from her father's Shevet, and it's just telling, and there is no din of Yerusha Sabal, it's just being Marba Isurim of Hasavas Nachla, that you violate Shnei Lavin Vasei. So then we're going to bring different brisos that disagree and darshan these psukim about Yerushas Habal as well, and not only about Yerushas Haben. And obviously the authors of these brises hold like Tosfos Kasha and Amud Aleph, that you wouldn't say Lav Rav B'Shnei Lavin if you have some other din to learn. So they're saying, let's learn the other din, that the Isser of Hasavas Nachla is not only an Isser Al Yedei Ben, it's a separate Isser Al Yedei Av. So Tanya, we have a brisa that says as follows: B'Sibas Haben, that the Pasuk is talking about Sibas Haben, the Tanya, and the Brises that tell us B'Sibas Habal, that the Pesukim are talking about Sibas Habal, that it's through the husband Yarshening that they're diverting the Yerusha. So Gemara says, where are these Brises? Well, here's one of them. V'lotisov Nachla l'bnei Yisrael mimata el mata. You should not divert the Nachla from one mata to another mata. B'Sibas Habein akasim medaber. The Torah is telling us a woman should not marry into a different Shevet, so that the Nachla of her father should not be uprooted and go to her son, who is Misyaches after her husband, and therefore belongs to a different Shevet. Sa'at Omer B'Sibas Habein, O'en El B'Sibas Habal. Are you sure that that's what it's talking about? Maybe it's telling us that the Yisr is to marry this man because if she dies, this man will Yarshin her, and it's going to be the husband that actually takes away the Yerusha. No, Kshuomer V'Lotisov Nachla Mimata L'Matei Acher, Hare B'Sibas Habal Amur. Since we already have another Pasuk that tells us about Sibas Habal, so this Pasuk can't be telling me the same thing. The Gemara is going to have to discuss later on tomorrow's daf, how do we know that pasuk that we're quoting is dafka about Asibas Habal? It doesn't say that. It says Lotisov Nachlan Matel Matei Acher. How do I know that's Baal? But anyway, the Gemara is going to show that we know it's talking about Baal. But Ha'amani Mekayev Lotisov Nachlan Bnei Yisrael Matel Matel. So what do I do with the pasuk that says that you shouldn't divert the Nachla from one Shevet to another Shevet? B'Sibas Habein Akas Medaber. It must be talking about the Sibas Habein, that it's through the sun that it's diverted. The Shita Sakarmonim quotes Kasha, that if the first pasuk is talking about the Sibas Haben, why don't we learn from here that the son yarshins his mother? Meaning, if it's talking about Sibas Haben, so you see it's a good source for the son yarshining the mother. The Gemara in Kufir Aleph learned that a ben yarshins his mother from a kal v'chomer from Bas, who yarshins the mother. So if the Bas could yarshin the mother, so the ben, who's even stronger than a Bas, should for sure yarshin. What do you need a kal v'chomer? You have a pasuk. So he says it's not really mefurish over here that we're talking about Sibas Haben, because you could say that they're both talking about Sibas Habal, so we'd rather have a definite limud, which is much more explicit, kal v'chomer. So sometimes you have, even though milsadasi v'kal v'chomer tarach v'kasav lakra, so sometimes you have that you could have had in a pasuk, we're going to make sure that there's a kal v'chomer to darshan it as well. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up a Tanya Idach on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph.